Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my guest today is Kevin Cashin, talk show host. And he's here to talk share his views on the presidential election. So, Kevin, I'm sure you're going to have a grand old time tomorrow on your show, won't you?
Well, it should be fun. You know, I think it's the media has declared their winner. And now right. It's just a question of whether the legal challenges and lawsuits in the swing states there, or those few states that are close, if they're going to go anywhere. And so it's going to play out, you know, it'll play out in the courts. And so we have another month before anything's certified. As we've mm-hmm. discussed before, the 2000 race, Al Gore didn't concede until December 13th. But so the electors decided on December 14th. You know, and Trump's going to make his accusations. They'll make their legal cases, and then we'll see if it actually does anything. You know, but now at least you kind of go with the presumption that you're going to have Biden, and that Biden's going to start forming his cabinet.
So let's think back to South Carolina. There were still a number of candidates in South Carolina. And once Biden won, game over, all of them decided to endorse Biden. What do you think? Why do you think that happened the way it did?
Well, a lot of it, I think, once everything got going with the coronavirus. That was on February 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden had 48% of the vote, you know, so it was basically Biden and Sanders, but then everybody kind of just sort of gave up. You're right. And so it's just kind of weird. They just kind of decided the rest of it. They decided
right.
the rest of it. You know, Biden goes into Super Tuesday after that. And then following the primary, Steyer and Buttigieg and Klobuchar dropped out.
Right.
And Bloomberg was in there still, but they just sort of all left. They sort of all left.
No,
you're right. You know, so they coalesced around this. You know, I think a lot of it's just it was opposition to Trump for whatever reason. Whoever's in charge of the Democratic Party, not the voters, obviously. They just said, this guy's polling the best and just run with him, you know?
And so Harris dropped out early in the primary season. What do you think that Biden picked her?
Well, I think it was just a cynical kind of play, you know, a minority and a female to get some diversity on the ticket. Just in that sense. I think it was, just that cynical. I mean, she dropped out before there was even a primary.
Mm-hmm.
That's how lacking in support she was. But, you know, you could have picked, he could have picked like a Gretchen Whitmer. He could have picked somebody else who would have zero support nationally too. It's just kind of weird. But when he's 77 years old and can barely speak, you know, or at times he's lucid, other times he stumbles, you know, and maybe that's part of his stutter, but he's had two brain aneurysms. So
he has, for real?
Oh yeah, he's had his head opened a couple times. Yeah. Biden had two brain aneurysms. So you know, they obviously you had no betting. Wouldn't Bernie Sanders have brought up Hunter Biden stuff if it was if they knew it or looked at it, or even the Hunter Biden Ukrainian stuff with the Burisma board was known back then, but it just didn't seem like the media wasn't really interested in taking a look at Biden or Biden's mental deficiencies or any of the allegations, you know, outside of the right wing people. You know, Jim Biden, his brother, and Hunter were involved in a bunch of just dealings that I think came from the fact that he was never going to be president. You know, these guys go and they finish their career and they cash out. And then these guys just go cash in everywhere else. And I think they didn't really expect to come back in. But ultimately, you know, if the voting was all legitimate and the vote totals probably are legitimate, but we'll see. You know, I mean, it wasn't enough to overcome the hysteria about Trump, you know, and the relentless pounding for 4 years, even before he was elected. So, and a lot of it's Trump's fault. He didn't run the right kind of campaign to win. I mean, you could say that, assuming there's no massive fraud, which is typical of the losing side, right? Cause, but you didn't see it in 2016, right? You know, Hillary just emphasized she won the popular vote, but everybody knew the Electoral College was the system that is there. And actually, you know, they may be separated right now by 5 million votes if it's 75 million to 70 million. But in those states to win the Electoral College, the separation is only 50,000 votes. So that's a much tighter margin than those larger numbers that exist. So, and that's just the American system, you know.
What do you envision for a Biden cabinet?
Yeah, well, I think Biden's cabinet's going to look more like Wall Street than it's going to look like Lark Street. You know, I think the progressive wing, the Elizabeth Warren and the Bernie Sanders wing. You know, and Elizabeth Warren did a good job destroying Sanders' campaign by staying in there longer. But neither of those people will be in the cabinet. And then anybody else who's a threat would be moved to somewhere, you know, Buttigieg for the Veterans Administration or some nonsense like that. They're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be some Hollywood superstar cabinet. But what else will be is the fact that you're not going to see, you know, Elizabeth Warren's not going to be Secretary of the Treasury, but you will see the other guys like this firm that's basically the new, you know, the same as Goldman Sachs. It's called BlackRock. And remember how Matt Taibbi in Rolling Stone about 10 years ago wrote a piece on the vampire squid? You know, the vampire squid is Goldman Sachs, and their tentacles are everywhere. Well, that's exactly what BlackRock is now. And the other big thing with BlackRock, and they really have – they were trying to get in – Larry Fink, the head of BlackRock, was trying to be Secretary of the Treasury under Hillary. And BlackRock – you know, now is really kind of pushing for the CEO would push for Secretary of the Treasury, much like Mnuchin is from Goldman Sachs in the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. And you see Mnuchin goes and negotiates directly with Nancy Pelosi. So that's really your lead. That's the real guy who's kind of running the Trump administration because the money is really what matters. And even during the pandemic relief, the Federal Reserve went to BlackRock to buy up all these bad assets. You know, when they did this, you know, people got their $1,200 checks or $3,500 checks, whatever it was. But the real thing that was going on was they were propping up the stock market, and they were doing it by just buying up bad debt. You know, so you get your little bailout, and people complain about bailouts to small people or restaurants and stuff like that. But the real stuff going on behind the scenes with the just buying up the assets. And that's what BlackRock was in charge of for the Federal Reserve. So, you know, as always, it's the mainstream media really doesn't help you understand, you know, what's going on. You know, BlackRock's also heavily involved in every climate thing. You know, they're talking about John Kerry for maybe climate chief, Buttigieg for veterans, Sally Yates back at the DOJ. You know, you can usually tell who they're going to be because they're going to be insiders. They're not going to be some outsider unless it's some role like Buttigieg at the Veterans Administration. Big deal. You know, what impact is he going to have there? You know, it's almost like Trump put Ben Carson at Housing and Urban Development, you know, and they get him in the administration, but they aren't minor, you know, secretary of this, secretary of that. Like Cuomo was at HUD, you know, but he did a lot of damage there.
Speaking of Cuomo, do you see him going to Washington again?
Well, you know, early on, there was a report before the election of Cuomo for AG. I doubt that. I saw some seemingly bogus report of, you know, maybe Cuomo for Secretary of State out of some website, the Buffalo Chronicle. But it seems like a fake news article. Seems like garbage. I don't think he has to go anywhere because he doesn't really have to have any competition in New York State. You have an increasing, obviously, the Democrats increase. They don't have a veto-proof majority in the Senate in New York State.
Right.
But they're getting closer. And they seem to be, you know, every time the DSA or, you know, the socialists that are in there, anytime they put up an issue, you know, he kind of just takes it over and does something with it. But New York State's got bigger problems. They got the financial problems. On that, the question is what can Biden do for them there? Well, the Senate didn't turn. They lost House seats. The Democrats lost House seats.
Okay.
And they don't yet. There may be with the runoff in Georgia. They don't yet have a majority in the Senate. So it
right.
almost looks like, you know, it almost looks like the left, which kind of helped. I mean, everybody got in line behind Biden, right? Bernie, everybody
mm-hmm.
else. But I think they'll be abandoned pretty quickly. You know, just in the sense
mm-hmm.
that you had this Abigail Spanberger in Virginia who told fellow members of her caucus last Thursday that they shouldn't ever say the word socialism again, you know?
Right.
So, the AOCs of the world, are you going to see AOC in the cabinet? No, you're not going to see her anywhere. You know, it's going to be the same thing. Pelosi is going to stamp out everything and Schumer's going to run everything, you know, on the other side. So you have divided government. You know, they'll look to the Republicans will look to crush whatever big stuff they're trying to do. But guys like Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham, they've played along with the Democrats for years, so they'll give them some of what they want, you know. But it's just not going to be.
AOC was reelected. Do you think she'll be right? But do you think she'll be as vocal?
Oh, she'll be as vocal. It doesn't mean they'll get results, you know. They, a GOP-controlled Senate means any of the big legislation they want to go through is going to get killed.
Right. Mitch McConnell already said that.
Well,
right?
Yeah. But the thing is as long as if they're getting cash, you know, they're corrupt in that Senate, and they're all about the cash. You know what I mean? And so if they get a deal, you know, whenever it's bipartisan, it's big spending. So if they get the deal they want, they'll take it, you know. But I don't think you're going to have a company like BlackRock who's involved in tar sands, involved in everything that they're talking about with the green, you know, with the Green New Deal, the opposite of everything. And that guy's pulling the strings, you know. You know, and that organization is pulling the strings in the administration. You know, you have the House Progressives, AOC, Katie Porter called on Biden to ban corporate appointees from his administration. Don't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys,
mm-hmm.
You know, the BlackRock was trying to get into Hillary's campaign. They want to get all their guys in the Treasury. And so that's what it's going to be. You know, it's going to be they're big fossil fuel people, so I don't know how they're going to spin this climate change stuff and do anything. And plus, the energy sector, you know, I wouldn't mess with the energy sector if I was a president. You know, I don't know that they'll ban fracking. I don't know what they're going to do, but you do know that they're not. You know, Biden's the senator from MBNA, they used to call him, right? He, you know, big Delaware corporate kind of guy,
right.
Keep everybody in debt. But, you know, like we've discussed before, you would think Bernie would have gotten through on the promise to, you know, help cancel student debt. I don't think Biden said anything about canceling student debt.
He hasn't.
You know, and if anything's there, you know, the student debt bubble's created by the government because they subsidize all those loans, you know? And so...
Yep.
It is a big problem for people starting early. You know, it's not, you can't compare the 1970s cost to SUNY to the present cost or any other college. So
right.
It's that, you know, having a bunch of debt slaves isn't really a good way to run the country, right? You know, even though that's what's going on. And that's, that can lead to, you know, can lead to bigger changes and revolution and stuff like that. It's not healthy. So it's going to be interesting, you know, and nobody knows. And if it, for some reason, the Supreme Court came in and overturned the election results, or made them recount, or made them revote due to issues with the mail-in ballot, you know, with the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, I can't imagine what will happen. There will be riots everywhere, just like the summer, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be chaos, that's for sure.
So you don't think that Trump is going to go quietly into the census?
Well, I think he can say, I'll go quietly if you audit the election in the states that we want audited. But, you know, they can do that with the law anyways. You know, they're going to start their legal challenges tomorrow. You know, you still have the coronavirus. We still have the coronavirus to deal with. What's Biden going to do different? Nothing. He's not going to do anything different. You know, so it's...
He'll be wearing a mask.
Yeah, let him wear a mask, whatever. I mean, you know, and that'll only last for another year and a half, you know. So, you know, until they get their vaccine, and the vaccine companies... The funny thing with the vaccine companies is they've already been paid for the vaccines. That's what they did. So what they're doing is they're making it, and then if it gets approved, it's already made, so they can roll it out. But that was all just big pharmaceutical bailouts, you know. So
even if it kills people.
Well, the vaccines, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're indemnified. You know, that was passed in the 1980s under Reagan. And so they have a national vaccine injury compensation fund. And so they've paid out, you know, a lot of money due to vaccine injuries. You know, the tricky part with that is it's hard to prove, you know, the science on, you know, people definitely get damaged. So what they do is they say, well, it's, you know, nobody would ever make a vaccine if there was any legal recourse, but it was passed in the 1980s, and you know, so big pharma, it's big pharma, big government, and it's going to be big business, and it's going to be Wall Street, just like it always is. You know, it's not going to be different than a Obama or a Clinton administration, which aren't any different than a Bush or a Trump administration. You know, I mean, they're all the same, because they get the same pool of powerful people from the same places.
Right.
You know.
Let me throw out two names to you.
Sure.
Stacey Abrams.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, Stacey, they look like they're grooming her for, you know, bigger things. She was at the Bilderberg meeting, which is another way to, she was at the Bilderberg meeting. So that's how you know that they're looking at you like, hey, we're kind of interested in what you're up to, you know? You know, so these little confabs they had, this was in 2019. You know, so they almost seemed like they were kind of, you know, you bring her out and see what she's all about, see if they can work with her and see what, you know, what sort of a front person she can be. You know, I mean, Joe Biden, he's got no end. He's not an independent person, you know.
I don't think many people know what the Trilateral Commission is all about.
Well, yeah, well, you know, the notion is the Bilderberg meeting is, you know, a place where the global elites, the sort of crowd that hangs out in Davos, the big money crowd, the big globalist crowd, goes and meets. And, you know, Stacey Abrams, you know, she's some sort of populist. What's she doing at that thing? Bernie Sanders doesn't go to the Bilderberg group, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Bernie Sanders doesn't go to these confabs like that. So what's Stacey Abrams doing there? You know, and so what'd she do? Move down from Wisconsin to Atlanta? You know, so, you know, it's just kind of like, and it's not even like it's a secret conspiracy. It's just these open conspiracy groups that just sort of, this is the worldview. You know, it's open borders. It's deindustrialization of America. It's, you know, where can we produce the goods the cheapest? Overseas, right? You can't, how do you compete with slave labor? You can't, you know, so you're going to kind of lose that. You're going to have, you know, Bush, it's just back to Bush, Obama, Clinton, open borders kind of, It is what it is. What are they going to do, not enforce immigration and then give everybody free health care? How do you do that? How are you going to pay for that? You know, he's already got an $11 trillion. You can raise taxes on corporations, but they'll just leave the country. So it's going to be interesting.
The other name I wanted to toss out is Susan Rice.
Oh, Susan Rice is the devil. Just an evil woman right there. You know, Susan Rice will probably be Secretary of State. You're right. She came out with the new stuff. And, you know, Rice, this is this invade foreign countries in the name of human rights, right? I mean, that's Susan Rice right there. Invade, you know, it's going to be, hey, it's not, okay, you know, get out of Syria. It's like, no, go into Syria and overthrow Assad. Right? Go into Syria and overthrow Assad. And so, you know, she's a potential Secretary of State. So is Hillary. You know, Rice was in Obama's ambassador to the UN, National Security Advisor. And then, you know, they did the Benghazi thing, but they did a lot of other nasty stuff. Everybody focuses, the Republicans focus on the Benghazi stuff. You know, I mean, it's, but Susan Rice, all of that, it's the same, you know, bad State Department. It's the same people that got us involved in all the way back to Madeleine Albright. You know, Hillary bombed the hell out of Serbia and Kosovo, and then they bombed Libya, and then they invade Iraq, and then they're doing this, and you know, they're warmongers. And so it's the same people over and over. You know,
okay, how many women of color in this entire United States has a clue about Harris, Rice, and Abrams? How many do you think?
Because, you know, it's amazing because everybody has access to the same media. So that's why I listen to NPR, even though I'm a right-wing guy on radio. And then I listen to, like, Pacifica and your Noam Chomsky and this other, you know, the other end of the spectrum, Democracy Now! And stuff like that, because I want to see what's going on, you know. So she was a Rhodes Scholar, like Bill Clinton, and it's just a feeder to the same globalist garbage. You know, that they don't care about the working man. You know, and so what you do, we champion human rights. Oh, so you champion human rights, but you go and you bomb Libya and you overthrow, you know, Muammar Gaddafi, and all of a sudden they have slave markets over there again. You know, and then you're taking weapons and giving them to create ISIS to go fight with Assad in Syria. It's just a mess. And so, you know, maybe she can't, you know, the Benghazi stuff. If she's got to get confirmed by the Senate, and you have a GOP Senate, she's not going to be able to get through.
What do you think?
You know, but you know who else you got? You got this Samantha Power, who is another warmongering ghoul. Samantha Power, you saw they floated her out on. She was ambassador to the UN, and they floated her out a little while ago. On, you know, Bill Maher. I watch Bill Maher a lot. They had Malcolm Nance was on this weekend. He's insufferable. You know, and this is the guy that's on WAMC all the time, the black guy. And he's, you know, the Trump people are going to have militias, and they're driving their pickup trucks around like ISIS, and they're going to start shooting people. You know, I mean, it's not healthy. And everybody, the 70 million people who voted for Trump are racist, you know. But actually, Samantha Power was the one who pushed for military intervention in Libya. So you're killing people to change regimes. Well, what's that? That's the role of America, to overthrow other governments? You know, it's complicated for sure.
How many new wars are going to be started?
Well, you know, they said Trump was the first one not to start new wars. I mean, they're still doing all the dirty, you know, war on terror stuff. They're still drone striking people. They're still providing arms to Saudi Arabia to kill, you know, they wind up killing people in Yemen. But he didn't invade North Korea. He didn't invade Iran. He got resoundingly bipartisan attacks on him for even just drawing down in Syria, drawing down in Afghanistan. So it's always... the foreign policy is always bipartisan, and that's these organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, they just openly think, you know, you just use America and use American blood and treasure to go change regimes so they can get more bigger markets, you know? And so I don't buy that they're going to be some big anti, you know, anti-fracking, anti-oil thing, because that, those guys are really the guys who've been running the show for the past century or so. I don't foresee that. I don't think they're going to cross people like that. I don't think so. I don't see it that way. You know, they'll have some window dressing stuff. Hey, you got Pete Buttigieg in there. You know. Go ahead.
I asked about those three women. How long is it going to take before the people that voted for Biden-Harris realize that there's not going to be any major changes?
Well, as soon as the first cabinet appointments are made and as soon as the first bombs are dropped, you know, on poor brown people overseas, that's what's going to go on, you know.
Think people will wake up?
Well, a certain segment do. I think, just from a kind of speaking to people, more people are more knowledgeable than ever. It's just there's not enough of them. You know, there's just not enough of them. And so it's a continuing battle. And a lot of the stuff that out there is confusing. And people really don't have principles. They just kind of look at, oh, you know, hey, Samantha Powers has a new book out, you know, or she's so nice, or I like her suit, or, you know, stupid stuff like that. Oh, Stacey Abrams, this is great. You know, the first black lesbian, whatever. Wow. Pete Buttigieg is great. He's a homosexual. Yay. You know, I mean, it's nonsense. They don't look at the policies.
I had asked Scott Ritter just the other day, if there was no COVID, would Trump still have lost? And he said to me, Trump would have won hands down if the coronavirus hadn't hit. Would you agree?
And all these COVID, you know, all these COVID fanatics had no problem out celebrating in the streets with no masks on, you know, on Saturday, right? Yeah, you know, I mean, there's an invisible government that you know, the establishment government that definitely, you know, was opposed to Trump, and they played up everything they could. You know, Anthony Fauci's buddies with Hillary Clinton, and, you know, so it's you had one gang in there, and now the other gang's coming in there. And not much else has changed, really, unfortunately.
So,
you know.
Alex, time's up. Give yourself a little plug, Kevin.
I am on Talk 1300 AM and 98.7 FM, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6.
And you're on streaming for anybody out of the capital area,
yeah,
right?
I stream and I usually post a podcast to SoundCloud. Yep.
Okay. And we're going to have fun with the local elections this year, aren't we, Kevin?
Well, it's very exciting, and I can't wait for Kathy Sheehan to announce, because she promised she wouldn't run for a third term. And we got her.
Right.
I got her on tape saying it. So.
Okay. So, Kevin, we'll talk again. Thank you so much
Excellent.
For being on the show today. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.